everyone. Welcome into another episode of Kentucky Daily, a daily podcast covering your University of Kentucky Wildcats. I'm Sean Smith, joined by Derek Terry. Derek, Kentucky and John Calipari finally have a point guard in the 2021 class, and looks like this one will stick.
It will, but before we get into that, Sean, I got to wish you a happy birthday. May 12th. Yeah. We talked about it yesterday, your birthday. It's here. Congratulations. So instead of Tata committing on my wedding, he was considerate enough to commit on your birthday. So shout out to Tata Washington for that.
I interviewed him the other day, Derek, and I told him, I was like, look, I have plans Saturday. So, like, is there any chance you know? I'm just kidding. But it is wild that he initially said the 12th in his first tweet like a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And then, like, instantly comes back out and is like, no, it's the 15th. And then he told us Saturday that it was due to him graduating high school on Friday, wanted to have a ceremony at his high school over the weekend. But, Derek, that's not how it worked out. He ended up committing to Kentucky on May 12th. Kentucky has a point guard. John Calipari has a smile on his face. And Kentucky fans are enjoying a string of good news here that we expect to continue. But let's just talk Ty Washington and the impact of this commitment. You lose Nolan Hickman less than 2 weeks ago. On that day, we all thought, you know, what does this do with Ty Washington? Because we knew that Nolan Hickman was actively recruiting him to come play with him at Kentucky. So I don't think we really got a clear picture on how well things stood with Kentucky and Ty Washington until leading up to the Iverson Classic.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like last week is when it really started coming out that Kentucky might have been able to close the deal on that, but this is a guy, it was pretty interesting, I think, his timeline with Kentucky. Obviously committed to Creighton for a long time, never signed, though. I think he actually committed to Creighton after the November signing period, so he was never, you know, legally binded to them. He decommits the day Kentucky lost to Mississippi State in the SEC tournament. Season came to an end, and I think immediately people started connecting Kentucky to possibly look at Ty Washington. But I thought back then, personally, a lot of that, because they already had Hickman, and you had to assume they were going to go after another point guard from the portal. We didn't really know what Davion Mintz or Devin Askew, what those guys were going to do. So I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to that. But, yeah, his name kept growing and growing. And he finishes in our 24/7 sports rankings at 16th nationally, 21 in the composite. And I think there are still some sites that need to be updated, so he could climb even higher in that.
He's as high as 12 on ESPN, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
right?
So he's up there. And I believe he's already, I mean, take it for what it's worth. We saw things go with some guys like last year. But a projected lottery pick for next season on ESPN.
And the moving it up to May 12th, too, Derek, it might have had more to do with how am I going to announce my decision? Am I getting that ESPN spot? Am I getting the ESPN social platform thing? So that has a lot to do with it. But this has been done prior to the Iverson Classic. This was done. I can say that now. Like, we knew that this was a done deal. When you get a string of crystal ball predictions the way it went out last week, that means a letter of intent, something has been signed. And it just now was coming out that he announced it publicly. But Kentucky gets a very good player, Derek, that I'm surprised I was able to get eyes on last week. You don't really get to do that this year. We haven't got to see any of these guys, but I was able to see him and kind of break down his game. I'm going to be putting up some scouting report stuff in the coming days on Go Big Blue Country. And I will continue talking about it on here. But Kentucky is getting a very, very talented guard.
Yeah, no question about it. I kind of defer to you for a lot of the things because, like you said, you have seen him play. I haven't. I've just seen clips that were shared, but I just wanted to fill in some of the backstory on him. I'm trying to find stats for him. It's unbelievable how hard it is to find high school stats for guys, even top-rated basketball players, but looks like he actually averaged 24-7-7. So high school stats, you know, take those for what they're worth, but that's, you know, pretty big numbers. Kind of a must-have. Well, I'd say more than kind of. This was a must-have, especially with Nolan Hickman not there. You needed another talented guy, and it seems like the kind of player that a lot of the talent evaluators, you know, think he's just kind of starting to scratch the surface. That's why you've seen this late rise. But could be the kind of player that one-and-done talent that you're kind of used to seeing at league guard. But I'll be curious the fan reaction. I've already seen a little bit of kind of strange reactions, not necessarily to Ty. I think fans like that, but to Xavier Wheeler, Xavier, who hasn't yet committed to Kentucky, but I think a lot of us expect that that will be the case. So, I mean, we kind of know what it is now. I mean, there was not a lot of drama with this one after that. Well, there was the one weekend, Sean, where it seemed like there were rumors he had taken a visit to Arizona.
Yeah.
And he got a crystal ball pick there from an insider on our Arizona side on 24/7. But that was pretty much it. You never saw any of the national guys jumping on that. And then, my coworker, Chris Fisher, put in a lock pick last week for Ty. And you saw Travis Branham and some other guys follow. And that's where that string of crystal ball picks came, like you were talking about. And
he lit up.
Cal,
do what? Go for it. I was just going to
say that
when I was talking to him about Kentucky over the weekend.
Yeah, well, that's a good indicator. Something you can get from in-person interviews that sometimes you can't get otherwise.
Jack spoke with him first, and then I got him for a few minutes. And then I was asking him this question, and he did not get to answer it because they had to start their warm-up. Rasheed Wallace come out, and when Rasheed comes out and tells everybody to get in the middle of the floor, you know, I'm not going to be standing over there and be like, sorry, dude, you can't have this moment. You know, keep interviewing with me. But – I asked him this, Derek, and I said, Tata, I said, let's say you commit to Kentucky. I said, CJ Frederick's on this roster, Dante Allen's on this roster, Kellen Grady's on this roster, all these shooters. How do you see yourself fitting in there? And he was just about to answer it, and I didn't get it. I was going to save that for like today and then run it. So hopefully maybe we'll get something from him.
When you talk about him lighting up, I'm just seeing Kyle Tucker tweet. And if you guys remember when we had Kyle on the show a few weeks ago, he was talking about – it was right around the time he had done his stories on Ty. And the quote was the first few times he called, speaking of Calipari, I screenshot his name because I couldn't believe it. So this was a recruitment that Cal definitely took control of, made him a huge priority. And my understanding, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but that he maybe hadn't done that in a few years, right? For guys, he'd maybe taken more of a hands-off approach in recruiting. But I think he knew how important Ty was and how bad he wanted him in this program. And probably still a feel-good moment, I think, for him that with all these people questioning you and questioning your program after a 9-16 season, to still take the point in a recruitment when you get involved late and land the kid, it still shows some recruiting chops from Cal that he still has it, you know?
It certainly does. And I spoke with his family along with Jack at Center Court, the Iverson Classic, for about 30 minutes. So they're waiting on Ty to come out of the locker room. We're just talking about the process. We were talking about all those visits and all that stuff, you know, the Arizona stuff that come out that weekend. He was talking about who had sent letter of intents. And at that time on Saturday, they told us Kentucky had not sent a letter of intent yet. But obviously, I looked at that as like, hey, you want to throw the bus somewhere else. You don't want everybody knowing what you're doing. They talked about LSU and how that staff had the most contact as far as from beginning to end with him. But then we got into the visits, Derek, and his family was talking about how the visits, he wanted to go see these campuses. And everything, just because, I mean, these kids, they're 18-year-old kids. They want to see where they're going to be living for the next 1 to 2, possibly up to 4 years for some kids. But some of the visits turned him off to schools that he was considering because they're going around. They're like, oh, it'd be nice to know what this is. But the virtual tour or the tour stuff that they'd given, sent out for people to come toward campus had no explanation of what anything was. So they were talking about UKs and how detailed it was. And everything that you could actually click on things and take virtual tours from your home without even having to go. And it was literally – so that was interesting to kind of dive in how these kids have had to take visits that are committing right now. Like these guys that are walking into college basketball, Derek, they've not had official visits.
No, they haven't. No. I mean, that was the unfortunate reality for the 2021 class. Those kids didn't get it at all. Of course, 22 will, and that starts just in a few weeks. Actually, they can start taking visits. Sean, it's my understanding, maybe – I don't know this for firm. I thought I saw that Kentucky is kind of expecting, I think, on June 1st for guys to be in Lexington for the summer workouts. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
So this is a quick turnaround for him. I mean – not super quick. He still has, what, 3 weeks until June 1st gets here, but still, you know, let's look at this three-man class now. Sean, let's put Kentucky back to number 7 nationally. I mentioned that on a few episodes ago. Assuming they don't land any more high school guys, the only other high school guy they're even recruiting is, you know, if you're holding out hope for Jaden Hardy, which seems like fantasy land to me, but
still,
I think a solid trio. Three interesting guys, and of course, like we talked about a few episodes ago, you've seen all these guys. Whenever you evaluate their fit coming into the program, we've mentioned that Ty Ty is probably the guy who's going to have the most on him, right? Don't you think?
I do. The class overall, it's a different class, entirely different class than any class that he's had, in my opinion. I mean, Ty Ty now, obviously, I think of the three as the most ready to come in and have to play right away, Derek. I know Damian Collins is obviously the headliner when it comes to the composite with number 10. I've said in the last few days that that is more off of potential of what they think he's going to be than what he is right now. Not saying he can't come in here and just tear it up. I mean, we don't know how that's going to work when he gets on a college campus. But as far as the class overall, I think you're kind of seeing it take shape with – and it, I don't know. I'm interested in seeing, will it be this way next year? Will primarily their best guys be from the transfer portal next offseason, or will it be the high school ranks? Because right now, it's definitely the transfer portal has been the biggest impact over the high school ranks. I mean, you're talking the preseason Big 12 player of the year just signed on is on campus. A four-year starter at Davidson and one of the best three-point shooters in college basketball, in Kellen Grady. And another starter from a Big Ten school at Iowa with C.J. Frederick. I mean, obviously the transfer portal has made the biggest – if Kentucky improves significantly, it was due to the portal, not high school. And what would this thing have looked like, Derek, if there wasn't a transfer portal for Kentucky right now? Because, I mean, Paolo Bancaro was still going to where he was going. Chet Holmgren was still going where he was going. I honestly don't know where Kentucky would be if the portal hadn't have, the one-time transfer rule hadn't have been passed.
Well, I think you would have seen much harder recruiting to keep guys probably from this roster. I think if
and you would have kept them, right? Because nobody was going to take Devin Askew's spot or things like that. They would have retained some guys. By the way, speaking of that, UK has got to stop doing the videos and the pictures with all three dudes in it, right? Like you can't have. I mean, you can have a picture of Davion Mintz and Keon Brooks sitting there. You know, deuces up, but at the same time, like Isaiah Jackson too. If they get all three of those guys, I might change my name and the name of this podcast. Like that's how confident I am that they're not getting all three.
Nah, no chance. No,
I two don't at think best, so. Right?
I would say one. I don't. Jackson, no shot. I don't think anymore. And then with, I don't even think Davion's going to come back. Honestly, but
Kentucky's maybe dream scenario, fan wise, is that they get Ty Ty Washington, Sevier Wheeler, Davion Mintz decides, heck, I want to join that too, and then Keon Brooks comes back. I don't think it's entirely dead, but I would say three of the four. I'm not confidently going to tell you that four of the four happen.
Right. There was one other thing to note too today, since we didn't record an episode prior to Ty Ty Washington committing. But earlier on Wednesday, Jason Jordan of Sports Illustrated reported that Sky Clark is transferring to Montverde. Is that how you say that? Montverde?
I think Montverde, if I'm not
Montverde. Oh, the E is silent. Montverde Academy, which has been a bit of a basketball powerhouse, right? If I'm not mistaken, that is where Ben Simmons.
Dakari played there 1 year, too, I believe.
Get a car. So, I mean, it's they're coming off of apparently a Geico's national championship, which
they win that all the time, too.
Is it even a big deal to win the high school? Like, who cares? Is that a bad attitude to have towards it? I just don't not care about whoever wins a high school basketball national championship. But still news, though. I mean, he's been at a lot of high schools, and he's going to be playing somewhere else this year. So
and you can't go off of how good someone's high school team is either. Remember how bad Anthony Davis's high school team was when they had him on ESPN that one time, and they got
all-time highlight tape. His highlight tape from high school.
They got beat to death on national TV one night, and I remember the buzz. I remember people talking. This is back when it was like Facebook, and everybody wanted to post their thoughts on Facebook. And I remember people like, well, this kid can't play a lick. Look at the team he plays on. It ended up being the best player, John Calipari era, one of the best to ever play at UK. But Sky Clark transferring and stuff, you know, we talked about that on the mailbag, and I think that Chen Coleman, Orlando Antigua, those relationships and everything, they're obviously establishing that now, which is a good thing for Kentucky if they are wanting to hold on to him. And, you know, remains to be seen exactly. We have no idea what the plan is for that class for 22. We have no idea what direction they're going. Obviously, we know that Shaedon Sharpe is a guy to keep your eye on and mm-hmm. stuff. I know there are some picks coming in for Kentucky on that front and stuff. So we're still really fresh there. I would expect by July we'll have a better understanding of exactly what Kentucky's doing in 22.
Yeah, and probably of note, too, is Jalen Duran. That's where he goes to high school as well. So
yeah.
He's a Montverde. Was that a hot take last night when I told you that I just don't see much that evaluating high school basketball players seems to be – I just think it's like a futile exercise, honestly. I'm watching these highlights of Sky Clark, and it's just like all pick and roll one-on-one. I just – to me, it's really hard to know. You can see skill and everything like that. Don't get me wrong.
EYBL is the place to evaluate, in my opinion. Just because they go up against the best of the best, they're not beating up on, you know, other high school teams and stuff that they play in their state. I mean, let's face it, Sky Clark's the best player on the floor.
Yeah.
95-99% of the time that he plays.
I just guess my thing is, like, it's so – and maybe this is the case for any sport, and I don't know. I just think in basketball it's so – I just don't think the EYBL or even regular high school basketball just is so different from college basketball. Speed and just everything is, I think, more pronounced there at that level. But
so,
I don't know. Maybe that's just maybe I'm wrong in my opinion on that. But
as we wrap this thing up, Derek, I want to ask you this. So I'm sitting at the Iverson Classic Saturday watching Ty play, and Jack looks at me and says, he goes, that's Emmanuel Quickley. He does remind me of Emmanuel Quickley. Not saying he's going to come to Kentucky and play a freshman year, then come back as a sophomore and just take off and be SEC player of the year. But the way he moves, the things that he does, his shot form reminds me of Emmanuel Quickley. And then there's also a hint of Brandon Knight, I think, in his game too. And maybe just the fact that he looks like Brandon Knight to me some.
So
too,
I had a question about that, because when someone tweeted, it might have been Jack, tweeted that he won the three-point shooting contest.
Yeah.
In my mind, I thought, oh, I think Emmanuel Quickley won at the McDonald's game. Is that where that started? Because in my mind, that's whenever the Emmanuel Quickley comp. Like, it may be – I'm not saying this is where Jack got that or where you got that. I just, like, thought it's interesting they both won that. And then I think the next day Jack tweeted that that's what he reminded him of once he actually started playing. So.
Well, the one thing that – his pace of play reminds me of Emmanuel. And stuff, how he plays in pick and roll, how he plays with a pace, that little floater he gets to, which we know now to this day, Emmanuel Quickley is one of the best at the floater in the NBA as a rookie.
Yeah.
But just, I think just Tata's size, his body, just the way he moves, he had a lot of below the rim game, Derek, which is what Emmanuel Quickley uh-huh. had to do. Like, Emmanuel Quickley wasn't hanging on the rim on you. I mean, he would in transition, but he killed you with finesse and skill set and things like that. And I see that Tata Washington, similar to Brandon Knight too, though. Brandon Knight wasn't above the rim guard. Like, he had some dunks and highlights, but Brandon Knight was so good off those pin downs, so good off the dribble handoff ball screens.
Brandon Knight was far more notorious for being dunked on in the NBA than ever dunked on himself.
This is true. He probably died like multiple times and then still.
He was an internet sensation for getting dunked on. With you making that comp to Quickley, basically, do you foresee him playing primarily off the ball this year like Quickley did basically his entire sophomore year?
He's so good with the ball in his hands that you don't want to take it out of his hands all the time. But he's one of these guys, Derek, that I actually – when it comes down to a final roster, and I'll make my starting lineup predictions, but right now if Xavier Wheeler and Ty Washington are on the roster, I think Wheeler starts at the one and I think Washington starts at the two. But I think he's going to be one of these guys that you see – work off the ball out of that floppy action that Kentucky runs on the baseline with the screens and kind of just some ISO and letting guys take it, you know, set up and take advantage of what the defender gives them. I look for Washington to be that off-ball guy that gets shots. He shoots it so well, so quick out of his hands, smooth out of his hands, beautiful rotation. He fits right alongside Frederick, Dante and Grady when it comes to this will be the best three-point shooting team that John Calipari's had in Lexington. When we're looking at numbers in March next year, we'll be sitting here talking about multiple dudes shooting above 40% and a team that I think will have 10-plus threes a lot of nights. And we know very well it took Kentucky multiple games to hit 10 a couple of times this past season. It took them multiple games to shoot 10 sometimes.
Yeah. This might be the one year where Cal's talking about how good the team shoots it in practice. You might be able to actually believe him.
So. He'll come out and say, this team can't shoot worth a shit.
Yeah, you he will. See. You're right. He will.
That's what he'll say. But, Derek, I'm going to send us off here with an audio clip from my interview with Ty Ty on Saturday. I asked him what he likes about Kentucky and what he likes about John Calipari, and he gave me about 30 seconds. But before we do that, I want to say this episode's powered by Blue Wire Pods. It's also powered by the Butcher's Pub. Three locations, one in Pineville, one in Williamsburg, and then one in London, Kentucky. You can visit thebutcherspub.com or check them out on Facebook. He's Derek Terry. I'm Sean Smith. We'll catch you next time on Kentucky Daily.
Now, I know you're getting closer to a decision, but just talk to me about Kentucky. What is it you like about that program and John Calipari?
Well, what I like about them is that Coach Cal is a straightforward dude. I mean, he reminds me of my high school coach, Coach Gifted. He just came in. When we first got on the Zoom, he came on a little late. And he pretty much, when he got on, he just told me what it was. And he was just like, if you're willing to bet on yourself, this is the place for you. If not, then this is not the place for you. If you're willing to work and just come in and take what's yours, not let anything be given to you, just come out there and take it, then this is the spot for you. So, I mean, ever since then, he's just always been straightforward with me.